she's real fine, my 409.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Well, I saved my pennies.
Good morning and happy holidays from the folks at Autoflex Leasing. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex with David Blassingame. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Tammy Pickard.
Good morning.
Sybil's taking a well-deserved holiday break. I'm Dave Whitfield. Colby was very disappointed when I walked in.
There's a little difference in the look going on between you and Sybil.
Slight difference
slight.
Here. But we'll be okay through the hour, and we hope you'll be part of the show, too. Don't forget your Autoflex Leasing fan text, 43733. Call and talk to David and Tammy, 877-881-1053. And a chock-full show today, David, with if you happen to be driving around doing some Christmas shopping early this morning and you get pulled over, how's that going to work out?
Well, you know, I thought we'd talk about that first because everyone has had this experience. I'm sure anyone that's listening out there has seen those red and blue lights in their rearview mirror before.
Here we go.
Yeah, that's the way Kobe's great.
little traffic violation.
Yeah, and so what do you do to avoid or maybe at least lessen your chance of getting a ticket?
You can do that?
Well, there are certain things you can do that will lessen it, and there are certain things you can do that will increase your chance.
Ah.
Absolutely.
Right.
Exactly, and that's what it all comes down to. You know, in some states, you can even be charged for reckless driving if you're speeding way over the limit. So it's pretty easy to have it cost you a lot of money when you think about the insurance costs that go up and the points that you get in Texas where you have to pay additional fees every time you get your driver's license. It's pretty crazy. So when you see those red lights in your rearview mirror, and I do speak from experience, there's a couple of things that you should do. First of all, pull over as quickly as possible. Don't make it work for the guy behind you with the red lights.
Make it an easy stop for him. Make it easy. Make the work easy so he doesn't have to chase you down.
Next, turn your interior lights on if it's at night. He needs to be able to see inside the car. He is going to be really concerned with how many people are in the car and where their hands are.
Okay.
This is something that had never occurred to me before when being pulled over, that, you know, they're in danger. They never know what they're going to get into.
That's how most police officers lose their life, is stopping cars. More policemen are killed at traffic stops, in routine traffic stops, than any other thing.
Really?
Absolutely. That's why you should always keep your hands on the wheel until he is standing beside your window. And you're going to notice something. He's going to stand slightly to the rear of the window. He's never going to walk up and be square with you on the window.
Yes, I've seen that. Why is that?
That is because if you have a gun, you're going to have to turn around to your right and shoot him. I mean, turn around to your left.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You'll have to go over your shoulder. That's why they stand behind the doorway. Now, if there are people in the back seat of the car, he may stand at the rear of the car and ask you to get out of the car. It's possible because it's according to who they are. But if he's not comfortable moving up to the side of the car past that back window, he's not going to do it.
So we have to remember our heart is pounding because we know that our insurance rates are about to go up. And we're going to get a big fat ticket.
And he doesn't know whether you have a gun or not.
His pulse is pounding, or her, you know, or the officer's pulse is pounding, because they don't know if we're terrible criminals.
I actually know someone that pulled over an individual after they had just murdered their wife. This was many years ago. And the guy was in a car. He had a little dog with him, a poodle. Had a bunch of stuff in the car because he grabbed everything he had that he wanted to take, grabbed the dog, and was making a run for it.
He was headed to Mexico.
And he was pulled over, and the officer that stopped him wrote him a ticket, did not know at that time that he'd shot his wife, and the guy drove away. The guy was later arrested, and he said, "It's a good thing that I didn't have any bullets left."
What?
Yeah, because he said, "I'd have shot him when he pulled me over," because he didn't know why he was being pulled over. He thought they knew.
Oh,
ended up getting a ticket. He was captured later on, but it's a dangerous thing to pull someone over, and everyone needs to realize that the policemen are really, really aware of the fact that they're in danger as well. So you want to make it easy as possible for them. You want to keep your hands in sight. You want to turn the lights on inside the car if it's dark outside. You want to be very, very respectful. The fastest way I can tell you, the fastest way to get a ticket is to be argumentative, be angry, be rude. There's just no way to win on that. There's an old saying in the police business: you can beat the rap, but you can't beat the ride. So you may be found not guilty later,
but right then,
that guy writing the ticket, he is the most powerful guy in the world.
Yes.
Because everything is up to him.
I will tell you, I made it very easy for an officer to pull me over when I was speeding one time. This was way back when I was driving out by the lake, and I was ready to get home, and I'd been driving for a little while, and I came over this hill, and I was probably going around 70, 75 miles an hour, and there he was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't even wait. Well, you know what, Colby? I never waited for the lights to come on. As soon as I saw him, I just pulled over in front of him. And he was, you know, he might have had to pull up about 15 more feet. And he comes, well, I mean, I knew I was guilty. And why make him chase me? So he came on up and he said, well, do you know, how fast you were going? I said, well, I know I was speeding, so I just thought I'd make things easy. And at the time, I had not gotten a Texas driver's license yet. I still had my Oklahoma driver's license. And he said, well, how long have you, you know, been here? You know, you're supposed to change. And I just kind of went, and he said, well, you have 30 days to get a new driver. I said, I did not know that, which I didn't. When you move to the state, you have 30 days to get a new driver's license. He let me off with a warning.
Really?
No Texas driver's license, and I was speeding, but I didn't even make him pull up 15 feet.
So I rest my case.
It pays to be glass half empty when you know you're speeding in May. The lights are not coming on anyway.
Well,
there's no way he's just going to let me keep on going.
I'm sorry. He did flip him on, but, you know, he saw me from way back. But
so the moral to the story is if you see a police officer on the side, just pull in front of
him
and stop.
That's not the moral to the story. That was my stupid self.
No,
but
actually,
it did get me out of trouble.
Yeah, I mean, you do want to make it as easy as possible, but one of the things you don't do is admit that you were speeding.
Because like
later,
I
don't want
like
it.
I did.
No, because later on you might actually want to try to fight it in court because you'd get a reduced fine that way or possibly get off. And if you've already if you get out of the car and go, oh my God, I'm guilty, you're pretty cooked at that point.
I know.
It's not going to go well in court. What did the driver say? He said, oh my God, I'm guilty. Thank you. Bam. You know?
Next.
I was very young. He gave me a break. He knew I didn't have any money. I was just right out of college, driving an old beater.
Yeah, one of the things they say not to do is to admit guilt. You want to be polite, but if they say, do you know why I stopped you? A lawyer will tell you, say no. No, I have no idea.
Because don't know exactly why.
Well, you could be wrong.
There could be a number of reasons.
You 85 into 35, but maybe that's not why I stopped you, you know? You could be wrong. So, but here's the thing. Bite your tongue. Don't get angry. Don't get mad. It's not over. And don't argue, because that's not a courtroom out there.
And keep your hands on the steering wheel. Another thing, it says only 5% of people that get tickets go to court to fight them.
5%.
Apparently, the other 95% of us should be going in there to at least, because you can reduce your fine or maybe get it completely eliminated.
You know, I know that we have a number of police officers that listen to the show. Autoflex Leasing Fan Text, this is from a cop, it says, excellent advice, add that the driver should advise the officer as to what he's doing. And this is what he's talking about. If you have your driver's license in your glove box, don't start reaching for the glove box as he's walking up to the car.
Right.
That's a good way to get ventilated. You don't want to do that. So if you've got to reach for your driver's license and it's in the back seat or in a briefcase or in a purse, whatever, officer, I am getting my driver's license, and let him see you do it very, very clearly. You don't want to lunge for anything or get no quick moves. Because seriously, those guys, that's how
they're
most of them
defense,
get shot.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, what about reaching for your wallet if it's in your like back pocket?
You tell him.
Say, I'm going to get my wallet. The other thing is, if you have a concealed handgun permit and you have a handgun in the car,
tell him
right away. I have a permit. I do have a pistol in the car. Here's where it's located. Yep. Takes all of the worry out of it for them. They may ask you to put it out so they can see it. They may ask you not to reach for it. They may ask you whatever they want to ask you. But let them know that you've got it so they don't have to worry about it. Okay. If you're nice, sometimes they'll let you off. Sometimes they won't. But if you're not nice, I promise you, you're going to get a ticket.
Just like the rest of us, when somebody isn't nice, don't you want to punish them a little bit for it? Well,
they can.
When you have the power.
So, David, it's purely up to their discretion?
Absolutely.
On every ticket.
When a police officer stops you, he is the most powerful man, or she is the most powerful person in the world at that time. And they can take you to jail for running a stop sign. it's still an arrest when they give you a ticket. So you have to keep that in mind. So if you decide to break the language barrier and question their lineage,
right,
you could end up in handcuffs. Mm. I mean, just because you're having a bad day, it can get a whole lot worse.
I'm thinking the only way you'd be foolish enough to do that is you came from happy hour, and you should be... Well, you need to be pulled over.
Not like a happy ending.
Exactly. Well, no.
No.
Bad ending.
So anyway, you can. And the other thing is, you're better off going to court to fight a ticket most of the time than you are just paying it. Because at least you stand a chance of getting a reduced fine, maybe, or maybe getting a dismissal if you go to court. If you don't, you're going to pay it every time.
You want to talk to Ed?
I do. Let's talk to
877-881-1053, the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. Hi, Ed. You're on the Saturday Morning Test Drive. Go ahead.
How y'all doing?
Good
Great.
Morning.
How are you, Ed?
Pretty good. Hey, I just called in because I was listening to y'all talk about the tickets and that and getting pulled over. And I just wanted to let you know what you talked about, having your hands on the wheel and turning the lights on and, you know, being real respectful of that. That's something that my dad's always told me since I got my driver's license. Mm. And I drive to work really early in the morning, about 2 o'clock, and I can tell you I've been pulled over quite a bit being the only car on the road.
Sure.
Right.
And I'm not saying it's a way to get out of a ticket, but most of the time if they see you doing that, and they obviously know I'm going to work, they're a little bit more lenient when it comes to that, but I heard that and I thought I'd call y'all and let you know that.
Thank you.
We appreciate
that's good
it,
for
Ed.
All the listeners too, Ed. And I'm glad that you go to work so early because I'm sure you get off at a really early hour too during the day.
Yeah, I'm actually listening to y'all right now on my way home.
Oh, great.
Good for you, buddy. Well, we appreciate you calling in and have a Merry Christmas.
Thanks. Same to y'all.
All right.
And Merry Christmas to you, Skillet.
Yeah, Skillet's
on the Autoflex fan text, Skillet told us, Merry Christmas. Thank you.
All right, let's cover a couple more aspects of this really quickly. There are different kinds of tickets. I mean, you can get a ticket for going 5 miles over, 10 miles over. You can get a ticket for reckless driving if you're driving fast enough. Mm-hmm. You know, in Texas, they wrote 3,727 tickets last year for people driving 100 miles an hour or more.
3,700.
And 26, yeah.
And those are just the people they caught.
In Minnesota.
They could catch.
In Minnesota, they wrote 21 tickets for people driving 100 or more, which means Texans clearly drive faster than Minnesotans. But one driver in Minnesota was driving 135. So
trying to make up for the difference, I guess.
Exactly. In Chicago, 300 tickets for 40 miles or over above the speed limit. And people don't realize this, or a lot of people don't realize this. The faster you're going above the speed limit, the more severe the fine and the greater the points that are added to your driver's license.
Is there a point when speeding becomes a felony?
Yes.
No, it doesn't become a felony, but it can become a class, I believe, B misdemeanor, and you can do up to 6 months in jail.
Wow.
Yeah, and again, if you're going fast enough, they may charge you with reckless driving. And let me tell you, that is a bad, bad deal. Reckless driving will just kill your insurance.
Well, let me tell
you
why that is.
It'll cost you a ton of money.
You know why? Speed increases the distance a vehicle travels before its driver can react to an emergency, and it increases the distance needed to stop once a driver can hit the brakes. So if you're going 60 versus 30, or let's just say, 60 versus 40, you are going to increase the force of the accident by 125% if you hit something.
Well, and here's the other thing.
The energy increases.
That's a lot of energy.
Yeah. Right? And speeding is responsible for about one-third of the traffic deaths that occur. One out of every three people that die in a car
died because
of speed.
I would think it'd be higher than that, actually.
Well, that's a lot, though, when you think about it. Because people still run into poles and, you know, do all that crazy stuff. The more you speed, the bigger the fine. The higher the speed, the more your insurance is going to cost you. So, I mean, bottom line is, slow down. If you just slow down and drive the speed limit, you don't have to worry about any of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Slow your roll.
We've got some consumer news. Also, if we get to the Toyotas and Hondas, some ratings coming out that you may be interested to learn about. Time permitting, what does $500 mean to your pocketbook? David may have some good news on that and a little more about leasing. We'll also get some consumer news coming up. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive.
Autoflex Lease, oh yeah.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
On the web at AutoFlex.com, click on Facebook. Am I right?
No, it's Fanbook, man. Stop
Come it. On. Stop it. Guys, give me a break.
AutoFlex Leasing fan text here at the 105.3 The Fan. That's 43733. Send your text in. Call us 877-881-1053. Talk to David and Tammy. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive. And ratings coming out on some vehicles.
There are. And you know what? If anybody's got any pulled over by the police driving 100 miles an hour plus, give us a call. Tell us how it worked out. I'd be interested in learning that. I mean,
how does that pavement feel on your cheek?
It's the hot car hood. When you're laid across the hood of the car and they got your face down flat on the side. Anyway, if you have any stories like that, call in. Tell us about them. And then we have...
Hello.
How's that working?
Or not.
Then we have an interesting AutoFlex Leasing fan text. I just bought my daughter a 2007 Mazda CX-7. Have y'all heard anything bad about them, Mark and Jen?
Well, first of all, I like the Mazda CX-7. The only thing negative about them, and good job buying something pre-owned. You saved a lot of money that way. That vehicle, Mazda period, is a little more expensive to repair for maintenance or service work. So there's that. And the parts are a little bit more expensive. According to one of my clients who had a couple of accidents, she said her repairs were quite a bit more than, say, an American-made car or maybe even a Honda. Some of the other Japanese cars, the Mazda was a little bit more expensive to repair. So make sure your daughter doesn't have any wrecks.
Well, and there's another nice thing. I mean, we talked about this on last week's show. If you can find a good independent repair shop, a really good, reliable one, it might save you a little money on those repairs. But I like the car, too. It's a good car.
Oh, they're fun to drive. They're safe. Plenty of airbags. Mm-hmm. And you've got some cargo space in the back. No, it's very versatile. I love the Mazda CX-7. And if you do have an issue, I've had some... We talked about how we know these independent shops. There was a listener that emailed me after I talked about these independent shops that needed a BMW repair shop. Sent them over there, was thrilled with the work. And then I also have a couple of body shops that do great work. So if you do need a break, for example, when a teenager wrecks a car, not everybody wants to claim that on their insurance. Okay. If it's a small enough accident that's, you know, let's say you backed into mom's car or a tree or something. So anyway, I like them. Nothing bad.
They're good cars. Another quick AutoFlex Leasing fan text. No, you're right. You don't have to tell the police anything when they pull you over, only show ID and insurance. That is correct, and I probably would suspect it would be better to say less than more, but I certainly wouldn't be trying to be offensive toward them. I would be nice. I'd be very, very nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're asking if anyone had experience with being pulled over 100 MPH plus. Will in Fort Worth, hi, you're on the Saturday Morning Test Drive.
Hey, how you doing?
Morning, Will.
Morning, gentlemen and ma'am. I've actually been pulled over doing well into 100 miles an hour. I work up in Oklahoma, and I've talked to y'all before. Oh. And one night, and this is, I was coming home from work, and it's about 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was just legitimately just not paying attention. I was just going. There's no one on the road, and I was pulled over doing 100 plus, and my family has always told me, do these things. And if you do it, you are more than likely to get off. And, you know, my first thought was, man, I'm going to get cuffed. I've never been in trouble in my life. I've never been in a school suspension or anything.
So what happened?
Well, he pulls me over. He sits in his car for a little bit. This is like a good 3-4 minutes. I'm like, he's running my plates, you know, normal thing. I turn on my light. I roll down the passenger window because, you know, on the freeways now, they go to your passenger window. They don't come up to the driver's side anymore.
Right.
And so and he walks up, he goes, young man, do you know what you just did? And I go, honestly, yeah. and he goes, I want your driver's license and insurance. And I said, yes, sir. He goes, is there anything in this vehicle? I go, no. And he goes, all right, I pull out my insurance. I pull out my driver's license. He goes back to his car for like a good 5, 10 I don't know. It was forever.
Too long while you're sitting there nervous.
He comes back. He goes, I'm going to ask you 2 questions, and you better answer them honestly, or else I'm going to cuff you. He goes, why are you speeding? And I go, honestly, officer, I just wasn't paying attention. I mean, I've worked for 14 hours.
What was the other question?
And the other question, he goes, you know, the other question is, why? Why would you do this? I just wasn't paying. He goes, I'm going to let you off.
Wow.
I'm going to let you off because you have nothing on your record.
Brilliant.
If I ever catch you again.
Did you learn?
This is my territory. You will get a ticket.
Did you learn your lesson?
Is that when you said you won't ever catch me again?
Good luck.
You know, what's funny is, you know, I've learned my lesson. I can't say I've never sped again, but I sure have not done 100.
Yeah, I understand, buddy. Hey, great story, and thanks for calling in. We appreciate you much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Will.
877-881-1053.
It's for our own good to drive that fast.
We have some more people on the phone, but quick Autoflex Leasing Fantex. I'm about to buy a 2008 Saturn View. Bad idea? Thanks and Merry Christmas. Part of it might be what you're going to pay for the car, because since the Saturn is no longer in production, the values of their cars have dropped because of that. Not radically, but some. Certainly, the service will always be available for the car. It's a General Motors car, and they're going to keep parts, most of the parts on Saturn, exchanged with other vehicles anyway that they build. So it would be really according to what you should pay for that car on an 08 Saturn View. And most of those cars are going to be going somewhere in the $9,000 to $10,000 range, I think, right now.
Depending on miles and stuff, trim level.
It's an average number of miles, say an 80,000 mile car, something like that, should be $9,000 to $10,000. If that's what you're paying, it's not a bad deal. If you're paying a bunch more than that, with those kind of miles, then I'd look elsewhere for the car. Mm-hmm. That's going to be one of the few cars I would ever say it would might be okay to get a car that's been discontinued. We're going to talk about Saab a little later in the show, and I would not advise someone to get a Saab.
Brett in Garland, hi, you're on the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex. Go ahead, Brett.
Hey, so 100 mile an hour plus stories. Driving back from a camping trip, long weekend up in Paladura Canyon up by Amarillo. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, we're tired. We stopped by Lubbock on the way back. And so I punch it in my Passat, of all cars. I punch it in my Passat down a hill. And I hit like 140, and me and my friend, we were like, we were doing good. So we see a curve, and we start saying, we're like, we need to slow down. And three vehicles come around the corner, and I'm like, oh, God, I thought that was a cop for a second. Well, it ended up being a state trooper. And before he even hit the median, I pulled over real quick, and I don't know if, we ate this place called Spanky's out in Lubbock, and my buddy, he's like, man, I can't make it. I'm like, dude, I'm going to get a ticket. You just got to wait. And so cop pulls up, walks up to the window, and I roll it down, and he goes, sir, can I get your license and your insurance? I give it to him because I goes, what are you doing? I was like, well, I got some stuff in my fuel filter. I was trying to push it out.
I goes, like some gas.
I know, it was retarded. I shouldn't have done it. And my buddy looks at me and goes, uh-uh. And I go, officer, I don't know about my friends having trouble. I say, look to my friend. He goes, sir, what's wrong? He goes, I just crapped my pants.
Oh,
no.
He goes, are you serious? He goes, yeah. He goes, well, there's a town a mile up there. He let me go on the fact that he's never seen anyone crap their pants in front of him.
There you have it. So everyone, thank you, Colby. Everyone can keep that in mind if they get stopped.
I don't think that's the answer.
I don't think so either. Okay. Autoflex Leasing Fantex wanted to ask your opinion on the VW Rutan. We just got one, and we really like it.
Good. Well, I actually like them, too. So I'm just going to say I like Volkswagen. You will spend a little bit more money. Again, it's a German vehicle, so you're going to spend a few more dollars on your repairs and your parts. But the durability and reliability long-term is good. So enjoy it. All I got on that.
All right. We'll try to get some more biological advice on how to get out of the tickets coming up. Autoflex Leasing Fantex, 43733. Call David and Tammy. Talk to them now during the Autoflex Saturday Morning Test Drive, 877-881-1053. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
You're on Autoflex Leasing Fan Text at 43733. Talk to Dave and Tammy, 877-881-1053. We're talking about getting pulled over doing 100 plus, and We have some professional advice for Brett and anyone else who wants to try his technique for getting a...
Yeah, evidently, Dallas PD does not care whether you go to the bathroom in your pants or not. We have a text from one of them who says, yeah, you can try that, but it won't work. So, anyway.
Does it work with me, Dallas PD?
Moving right along, let's start talking about what we were going to talk about, and that's the new study from the IIHS. That's the Insurance Highway Safety Institute, and they've devised a new front-end test, and the Toyota Camry, 2013 Camry, didn't do that well.
Did not.
Along with the Prius V or Prius 5. Neither one of those cars did well in the front-end test at all, which is pretty unusual because Toyota, as a rule, has some of the safest cars out there. But now this is a new test they did, and it is a 20% overlap. The normal test is a 40% overlap, and let me quickly explain the difference. One of them, more of your car hits the barrier than the other. So in the new test, it didn't do that well. The cars that did do well, the Honda Accord four-door sedan, the Suzuki Kiyoshi, and if you need a Kizashi. If you need a Kizashi, you better hurry. They're out of business.
Sounds like cereal.
Exactly. Ford Fusion did well. Honda Accord two-door did well. Kia Optima, Nissan Altima four-door, Nissan Maxima, Subaru Legacy, Outback, Dodge Avenger, Chrysler 200 four-door, Mazda 6, and Volkswagen Passat. Marginally, Hyundai Sonata, Chevrolet Malibu, Volkswagen Jetta, and of course, not rated well at all, the Toyota Camry, and the Toyota Prius. Again, that's on only one test, and if you looked at the entire testing spectrum with those cars, they do just fine. But it's probably worth mentioning because it was out there on the news, and several of the news services picked it up.
So hit them head on.
Exactly. Yes. Now, here's the other thing.
That's what we're really trying to say.
Here's what's going on in the car business right now. Rebate, rebate, rebate. We're back in business again. Yeah, and it's not crazy like it used to be, but in some cases it sort of is. We looked across the spectrum of everything out there, and like with Chevrolet dealers, right now there are cars and trucks that you can get up to $8,000 off MSRP on, wow, which is pretty big.
But that's not all rebate. Off MSRP, part of it is just discount. Just
yeah,
so
part
you know
of it's discount. So a couple of thousand of that is just discount. But Chrysler is offering up to $4,000 off their Chrysler 200 MSRP, and Ford is offering up to $5,000 off the 2013 Taurus models. Now, what that means off the Tauruses, what that means is it'll save you a lot of money, and here's why they're doing it. There's a number of vehicles that they have in their lines that are overstocked right now. For the very first time since the recovery, they've actually got more cars than they got customers. Here's the difference, folks. They're slowing down on production rather than forcing cars into the marketplace. So we're seeing these rebates, and some of them are quite large on certain cars, but we're not seeing them across the board. And we're also seeing the manufacturers take action to prevent the overstocking of cars. They've slowed down on the fleets of cars that they're putting out there with rental car agencies, and they're no longer forcing dealers to take cars. They are trying to cut their production to match the market. Here's why. Resale value. If you want your car to have good resale value, don't stack them up so deep that everybody tries to sell them when they're done with them at once. Like the rental car fleets when they come off, that really hurts the value of a car if you're driving one of those cars because so many of them flood the marketplace at once. If you don't build too many cars, then you don't have too many used cars coming into the market at once, and your resale value and the brand value stays high, the perceived value of the brand. So pretty smart stuff. In fact, this last week, Chevrolet announced that they would shut down production on their new 2013 Malibu. Now, and the Malibu is a good car. It hasn't done quite as well. The 2013 is new make of the car has not done quite as well as they planned on it doing. So they've closed down production for like up to 4 weeks so that the dealers can sell off the stock they have and they don't overstock that car into the marketplace. It's very smart business. You're seeing it across the board with all the domestics now.
Simple economics, supply and demand.
It is.
Well, how is this different from the way things used to be?
Well, the way things used to be was they would just make as many as they could, and the theory was that the car was sold when the dealer bought it from the manufacturer. So when GM made the dealer buy the car, they technically sold the car. They got paid. Okay. And then they weren't too concerned with how many dealers there were or if the dealer – they were concerned, but that wasn't their chief concern. Their chief concern was selling that car to the dealer. Now their concern is brand loyalty and brand value, which is smart, and they are they're trying to tailor their production to the actual demand for the car. And it'll keep the resale on these cars up.
The first time I really saw this in action was with Acura years ago, probably 15 years ago, when I was really paying attention to their market, and they just never overproduced their cars. They never had too many.
They
never had to put big rebates out there, and I thought, well, they've got a good business.
So here's, I think here's the bottom line. If you're wondering, because Autoflex leases all makes and models, so if you're wondering about what cars have great rebates, mm-hmm. you need to give one of our offices a call, because sometimes you're looking for that deep, deep discount to help you save even more money. The lease is going to save you 30 to 50% of what the retail payment would be. But even more money, considering on the Chevrolet, right now, GMC pickups have got $7,000 back on them. I mean, real money.
Wow.
Chevrolet pickups have $7,000 real money back on them. So if you're looking for those cars with the big discounts, give us a call at Autoflex. We can help you find the cars. If you're trying to trade a car in that you owe more money on than the car's worth, you can use that additional money that you're getting as a discount to cover that negative in your current car. So maybe the car you're driving doesn't fit your family anymore, or you just need to trade and you owe too much on the car. Let us show you how we can use some of these incentives to pay that negative off for you.
And then when you roll that vehicle into a lease that we can do for you, you can take advantage of the big rebate, because most of the time when the factory programs offer a rebate, they might also offer some special financing, but you only get one or the other. When we lease the car, we'll get the rebate for you, and we'll do our special financing for you, so you also get a low interest rate on your lease, and then you save twice.
Well,
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and the other thing is we'll work with you on cars, like we were talking about on the Malibu, that they'll keep the demand down. We'll work with you on cars that maintain good resale value.
Yes, we can show you several different options instead of just, you know, since we don't just sell one thing. We represent everybody, so we'll help you make the best decision for your budget, for your family, and for the long-term ownership and resale value. The other thing is, when you do a lease, you're going to save a little bit of extra money because you're not paying for the entire car.
Right. Okay.
And another wonderful thing about the lease is if you're coming out of something where you're upside down, let's say you bought it and life's changed, you've had a kid, and so you no longer need this sports car. Now you need an SUV to carry all the gear that goes with a child. Just did this for another client. But you owe more than the car's worth because it has depreciated and you haven't paid it down fast enough to catch up. When you put that into a lease, we roll that negative into a car that we have a rebate on, and we do a lease, let's say 3, 4, 5 years. At the end of the lease, guess what? The negative equity is gone. It's gone at the end.
Yeah, you're even at the end, which is a beautiful thing.
So call us if you want to find out how you can maximize your money that you're spending on your car.
And David, what are those numbers to call on?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234. And right now, you can get... We'll make your first payment on your lease up to $500.
Nice.
Now through the end of the year. Yeah, that's a big promo for us. Or if you decide to purchase one of our pre-owned cars, we'll give you up to $500 off the advertised price walking in the door. No questions asked.
Do you have to ask for it?
It's automatic. Everybody already understands.
Nice. Okay, good.
Okay, now, back to the stories. Saab has now reached a deal with General Motors on warranty service for their vehicles. And as everyone knows, Saab is no longer manufacturing and selling cars in the United States. Oh, they were manufacturing them outside, selling them inside. But anyway, no more new Saabs. So what do you do if you got a Saab? Well, there is a company called Saab Automotive Parts North America that is actually now owned by the Swedish government. And SAPNA is going to supply parts and warranty repairs for your car. Now, I'm not sure exactly where those maintenance facilities will be, but I can tell you that there's 137 of them across North America, including Canada. So there's probably not a whole lot of them, but if you've got a Saab, at least you'll be able to get parts and get the car repaired.
Good.
You may have to take a plane to get there, but you'll have a place to do it.
Any idea how to find those? What are those 137?
Yeah, I would go to Saab. Online.
Online.
And they'll have those listed as of now.
Very good.
If you're driving a 2012 Hyundai Veloster, Hyundai is recalling about 13,500 of them with what they call the panoramic sunroof. And they have had several situations, 11 of them, in fact, that the sunroof has exploded when being driven at high speed or highway speed. Exactly. Except I think it's probably louder. It's like a whoop.
And there might be some
There you go.
There might be some extra words that are shouted.
Yeah, when the sunroof blows up.
Now, what's panoramic? What is that?
It's just a large glass
bigger.
That doesn't move. Mm. And evidently, when they assemble the car, they some way weakened that glass, or maybe a piece of metal is touching it. So as you're driving down the road, the vibration, and then all of a sudden, boom, the glass blows up.
Yes.
So 13,500 Hyundai Veloasters have been recalled. You can contact your local Hyundai dealer, and they'll be able to tell you whether your car is one of the ones that is affected.
They'll take it in. They'll replace it for free.
All right, we got some more stuff coming up on Toyota with new tech aboard the Avalon. One less model coming off the Toyota lines. That'll be interesting to hear about from David. And fuel news, if you're thinking diesel, what's the economy like? And not all fuel taxes are created equal. That also coming up. The Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing, your fan text, your AutoFlex Leasing fan text at 43733 or call 877-881-1053 to talk to David and Tammy. The Saturday Morning Test Drive.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Back at you, heading down the finish line on the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing. AutoFlex Leasing fan text at 43733. Talk to David and Tammy, 877-881-1053. And someone, David, asked if there's a downside to leasing. Is there a downside?
Yeah, there can be. I mean, certain people shouldn't lease. If you're going to keep the car 10 years, buy the car.
Mm-hmm.
Just buy a really good one. If you're going to buy a car, don't buy a new car. Buy a pre-owned car. Don't buy, and it's according to what you can afford, but if you can get a 1 or 2 year old pre-owned car, if you're going to buy it, that's probably the best way to buy it because you get the factory warranty that's going to cover you for the first few years you got it. If you're a pig, shouldn't lease. If you're going to trash the car out,
right,
don't lease it. You know, but if you're a normal person, then it works really good for you.
And most people are.
I've heard the argument, well, I'm just going to pay cash for my car. I think that's silly, especially with economic times like they are now. I think I'd keep my cash. The idea in the lease is you spend as little money for the car as you can to drive the car you want to drive. It leaves you with more of your cash. There is a time, there's a clock on the car. That lease is up. But, and you don't get a bunch of equity money at the end, but at the same time, you've saved that money over the time you've got it. So that's how it works. There's no magic. You save the amount of money that you would have spent if you decided to buy the car. And at the end, if you decide you want to buy the car, you still can. And you know what it's going to cost you. So it's like planned expense.
Right. So almost everybody out there, you're going to find that leasing is going to work for you. We have some new tech aboard the Avalon you guys were just talking about.
Really, really cool stuff. They're building a charger into the Avalon. They're going to call it Qi, which is interesting.
It's spelled Qi.
Yeah, but it's pronounced Qi.
Qi, okay.
Sure. In some language, okay. I'm sure it's pronounced that way. Anyway, what it does is you can lay your telephone on this pad, and it will charge your telephone without it being wired to the car. And we're seeing more and more of this wireless charging out there. There's wireless charging pads for a number of phones, and a number of phones will work on this. Unfortunately, the iPhone 5 won't. The iPhone 3 and 4, you can buy a case that'll make it work with it, but it's really a pretty good idea being able to charge your phone without having to plug it in. So that's going to be in the 2013 Avalon, which is coming up. Toyota is probably going to drop the Matrix. They haven't officially said they would, but there have been several press conferences where they've been asked about the Matrix, and they've said, you know, we could probably live without that car. And this would be in the United States. They're going to continue, they say, distributing that car in Canada. Diesel. You know, for years, people thought diesel was like a Massey Ferguson tractor. It had to make noise. It had to make black smoke.
Absolutely. Right.
You know, you got your hands filthy when you filled up the
car. The nice rattle when you accelerate.
And the whole time we're feeling that way, in Europe, 60 to 70% of all the cars on the road are diesel.
Mm-hmm.
And they are cleaner and greener than a lot of the gas cars that we've got here. And they're quiet, and they run, and they drive beautifully.
And what are fuel prices like in Europe?
Well, you know, diesel does not suffer the disadvantage in Europe that it does here. Here we have taxed diesel about 25% more than we tax gasoline, and that's a federal excise tax. So because of that, diesel tends to be more expensive about 25% mm-hmm. more than gasoline is here, but it also gives you a lot better mileage. So you gain mileage even though you're paying more per gallon for the fuel. Net is it's a clean running, great way to push a car. It's a lot more, it makes a lot more sense than electric because it doesn't involve any kind of weird technology that still needs to be developed or moved forward. They got it right now, and you can get diesel at the corner.
And BMW is now bringing more and more of their diesel vehicles here. Now we can get a diesel 3 Series. You can get a diesel X5.
Exactly. And you're going to see more and more. They're talking about having 40 different diesel models available by 2016 in the United States
nice.
From different manufacturers. So you're going to see more and more of the clean diesel in cars here. They're talking, again, they say by 2030, all of the trucks and buses that we have by 2030 will all be running on clean diesel. So no more black smoke and no more soot.
In fact, one of the things that we want to do after the first of the year is have a story all about all the different fuels and the energy, because obviously that's the direction everything's going. But we will have a whole lot of information about diesel, gas, the taxes that are coming, because they are talking about raising the federal taxes on fuel, on gas, right here in the U.S., and then everything else with the electric and the hybrids and things like that. So you can all, we'll let you know when it's coming, but we have to do all our research and get our experts together, and it'll be interesting.
And tune in every week to make sure you catch that, okay, here on the Saturday Morning Test Drive. Let's say hi to Alfonso in Plano. Thanks for calling the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex. Go ahead.
Good morning. I have a quick question for you guys. You know, I've been looking at this car over the past 6 months, both new and used, and yesterday I got an invitation from the dealership that they're offering employee discount through the end of the year. And I'm just wondering if that's, you know, that's a good deal, or is that probably just a hook to bring me in and try to sell me a car? They did mention, I think it's going to be basically the invoice price that they're going to be offering it.
Yeah, I mean, from the reality is, answer number two.
No. Well, it might be a deal, too. They do want to move cars.
They're trying to sell cars right now, but here are the basics. They don't, I mean, everything anyone does is something to get you in. And if you come in off the street without that invitation, you can negotiate the same price on the car as if they invite you in. There's nothing really special other than, you know, it's the end of the year and everyone is trying to sell as many cars as possible. So
they don't want to pay vehicle inventory tax
exactly.
on it after the first. And if it's a 12, it becomes a year old
yes.
January 1.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's some great incentives out there. I think
what is the vehicle?
It's an Audi A. Which one?
Audi S5.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's a good car.
Is it a 12 or a 13?
I'm actually looking at a 13.
Oh, okay.
So they say they have a lot in inventory.
I don't know how
it's
much they've got.
It's not a bad price for an S5, though. Audis are...
Yeah, Audis are high-demand cars. You're going to get a good price pretty well wherever you go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and you're not going to get... I mean, no... Here's the reality. Everybody that sells those cars are selling the same cars, and they cost all of those people the exact same thing. So there's really not a special deal anywhere. It's the deal you can get, and the more you negotiate, the better you negotiate, the better deal you get.
But that makes it simple. You can go in and just write your check. Now, try to arrange some of your own financing. Are you going to lease that vehicle or buy it?
You know, I haven't decided that. I think I'm looking to buy it because I'm definitely going to keep that kind of car for a very, very long time.
Okay.
So I'm definitely looking at buying, I believe.
How long have you had the car you've got right now?
About 3 years.
And you're thinking about trading it?
It's used. It's used. I was right. doing my MBA, so I didn't want to get anything new. So.
Sure.
Understand.
Now you're rewarding yourself.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well,
go
congratulations.
For it. Stimulate that economy.
Yes.
Right.
Whether you decide to buy or lease, it's a good car. And it's a really popular car. It's a great looking car. Again,
put an extended warranty on it.
Yeah, for sure. An extended warranty.
100,000 miles.
And the other thing is you'll pay a little more for the parts on that car because they're made in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to be shipped over when you have repairs and stuff.
Right.
And I'll bet the dealer's labor rate to work on that car is at least $130 an hour. So buy the extended warranty.
For sure.
Okay.
All right.
Now, if I could ask you, the last question is, you know, with the dealerships, the invoice price, they're offering at invoice price. What does that mean? Do they not make any money?
No, they make money.
They get their hold back. They make a little bit, but they don't make the full profit.
And it's okay. According to whether or not there's some incentives on from Audi. You can probably go online and check incentives and find out if there are any. But they all make a hold back, which is a percentage of the original invoice on the car, and you won't get into that.
But you have an MBA. Okay. You know they need to make a little money to stay in business, right?
Right. All right. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, and congratulations. Happy holidays.
Thank you very much. David, before we go, the last couple of seconds here, can the Pope drive in the woods? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, he's got a new Popemobile.
Yeah,
real quickly, Mercedes-Benz has come with a new Popemobile for the Pope, and it is, as all Popemobiles are, it is a little weird looking, but here's the big thing. It's got bigger windows, so you can see the Pope more easily in the new Popemobile, and it's got a throne built into it.
No,
it's actually got a papal throne.
Do you mean a throne?
A throne.
Or a throne.
I mean,
not one that that guy on his way from Lubbock to here needed.
It's got a papal throne built into it and larger windows than the old Popemobile, made as always by Mercedes-Benz. So the Pope has a new Popemobile.
Why shouldn't the Pope have a Ferrari? We're talking Italian, right?
Yeah, but he has to be up. Well, have you seen him? He has to be comfortable, and he has to be driven around.
Let's be respectful of
and
the
it
Pope.
Has to be bulletproof.
Il Papa.
Yeah.
Real quickly, David, how can we get a hold of our good friends at Autoflex?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234. Autoflex.com on the World Wide Web. On the True Price, the question on True Price, call me on Monday. I'll explain True Price. You can reach me in Richardson.
All right. David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard from Autoflex Leasing. Back with you next Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. You're on 105.3 The Fan with a Saturday morning test drive.